With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. But today, everything costs more. So smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce IT costs, maintenance costs, and manual errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move to NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/stereo. netsuite.com/stereo.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Hey, listen.
Get over here.
Forwards, it's Halo, and backwards, it's Hola. So, hi, this is One Upsmanship, and we're talking Halo Infinite. That was pretty good, right? That was something.
I liked it. Sure, I was in.
Thought of that as I refilled my coffee. I'm Michael Swaim.
And I'm Adam Ganser, also impressed.
And we're two cool dudes who are friends who play video games, and we talk about them.
We sure do.
And it's the premise of the show. You've found your way to. It's called One Upsmanship. Today we're talking Halo Infinite, which I believe I said now twice.
Mm-hmm.
So surely we must be in the show now. How are you doing, Adam?
I'm doing great. I'm doing at least as well as 343 Industries is doing, which is better. Than previously. Better lately.
Yeah, better lately. And it should be noted, are our resident Halo lover. I am our resident Halo hater. But that doesn't necessarily characterize how this is going to go, because it's a whole new horizon. It's a whole new Halo. So let's let the past wash away. And
kind of like 343 is trying to do.
That's right. With eyes unclouded by hate and a clear heart, let's approach Halo Infinite.
So, what do you think
should do the speed run, bud?
You should do it. But before you do that, can we just check in on the state of the franchise in our hearts here? We've only covered the first Halo, which mm-hmm. I kept and you did not. But offline, when we've talked about Halo, you're not really as opposed to it as you're showing up to at least the first one-upsmanship about it, right? You seem like you're more open-minded when we talk about it offline. Am I mischaracterizing you?
The way I'd characterize my relationship to the franchise is that I think the core creative team, whoever they may be, because I haven't dug into it enough to know their names off the top of my head, but whatever team really is like the group of pals that made Halo and then split off and made Destiny,
yeah,
I think they are titans in the industry.
Yeah,
in the same way that I think there was a core team that was The Simpsons, and they split off to make Futurama, and that team is idols of mine.
That's high
that
praise.
Said,
yeah,
Halo itself, like so, because they went to Destiny. I honestly think Halo lives in the shadow of Destiny in my mind now. And I could be wrong about that. So you gotta educate me on how Halo is its own thing and why it deserves its own dish of respect. Because honestly, yeah, that would characterize my views, is that I respect the Destiny team who originated Halo, but now I tip my hat to Destiny over Halo.
I think, just so everybody knows, I share that opinion. But I'll add the seasoning of Halo the franchise is kind of the first adult set of video games I played. I'm gonna put adult in quotes. like the first real shooters that I played, because, you know, I grew up in a conservative home, so I didn't have those kind of games really. And I played it over at some friend's house, and I've played every major Halo release, including this one. And I'm excited to talk about it because I think this one has a unique place in this history.
Well, okay, then I'll a lot of preamble this episode, but yeah. I gotta ask: does any part of you feel? Will you cede this point, and or am I way off base? Does this hit a flicker inside you at all? Master Chief is just a ripoff of Doomguy as a character design. Does that scan to you, or do you think that's bullshit?
It's scan. If you mean like the outfit is kind of the same, then
I mean that I dock Halo points because it feels like a response to Doom in the first one.
I think Halo. Well, so this is worth talking about now. So I think Halo belongs in has a couple unique benchmarks that it deserves to be acknowledged for that are independent of that. Is it another in the line of Doom type games? Absolutely. There's no question, but they definitely were like, we're going to try to distance ourselves from Doom by creating a kind of unique universe and a set of like and a plot that sort of hangs together that's not all lore gobbledygook, you know? Because Halo's very committed to its plot, for better or for worse, and I would say Doom is not. Having played most of them, Doom is very, who cares?
Every Doom installment feels very free to start over, throw other shit away. Yeah.
Doom is unapologetically like, blast the shit out of that demon. And Halo immediately set itself apart. And
I feel like Halo is more like saying, we're fans of science fiction.
Right.
You're like, yeah, I get that.
This is a sci-fi story. And also, like, the enemies are going to be smarter. And you're going to have to learn how to navigate them. And that has been true of all the Halo games to lesser or greater degrees.
And remains true of the Destiny games.
Yeah. And also, it just sort of comes in that Aliens-esque space marine. It's like a lot more in that zone than any franchise before it. So that's one of the things that makes it unique. There's other things, too. I would say Halo 2 brought online multiplayer to consoles, which has completely changed gaming. And Halo 1 is the first time I ever did a LAN party.
Combat Evolved.
No. Halo Combat Evolved did not have online multiplayer. You could string a bunch of consoles together, like which I did once. I had like a guy who had like four TVs, and it was awesome. Mm-hmm. It was like, this is the best thing ever, and it was. Anyway, but that's a totally different thing, because now here we are, like, what, 20 years after the birth of the Master Chief, dealing with this game, Halo Infinite. Do you want to do the speed run, sir?
Sure.
So we should pass a checkpoint, which in this game basically means we captured a forward operating base, you know, through yet another brute into the eternal vapors.
Clobber to fob.
Yeah. That's right, and now we can warp there any old time. You ready, sir?
Yeah, you know what's fun is getting one of your UNSC friends to stand right where the Pelican drops a tank and drop a tank on their head. That's fun.
Let's
say we did that.
I agree.
You want to go ahead and start me?
Start the clock.
All right, well, I'm going to take a shortcut here. If you want to know all about Halo lore, I highly recommend you check out the most popular video I've done for IGN in my 2-year tenure there thus far, which is the complete Halo saga in 22 minutes. And it only has like 3 factual errors, which is pretty good for a 22-minute synopsis of like 9 games. And I would tell the uninitiated in a nutshell that Halo is an FPS of a certain weight that has become synonymous with it, a certain physics, almost in the way that Smash Brothers has a very certain physics a feel to it that's associated with it. And I found out recently, and we'll talk more about this, that it's called Halo fans call it the Golden Triangle, and we'll explain a little more what that means. But Halo is an FPS that has its a unique feel that makes it feel uniquely Halo, that is different than Doom, different than Call of Duty. But it's a sci-fi epic space opera that borrows heavily from all the sci-fi epics that came before. The plot is basically a mashup of things like Alien, Battlestar Galactica. Like, you can see recognizable elements, and the creators in interviews have said that openly. They're not upset about, like, oh yeah, this is basically the thing from Prometheus, that plot beat. We repurposed it and connected it to this plot beat from Star Trek, and we made our own thing. And it has become its own thing, but I would argue it's a pastiche, it's a melange, including being a reference to, as I've already forecast, Doom and the idea of the very limited dialogue, bulky, square-jawed guy in a helmet whose face you never see, who just fucking kicks ass. And you jump around, you shoot aliens. I guess I should say Halo Infinite specific stuff. Okay, here we go. Reset the clock. No, I can't.
No,
it's
I can't
too late.
Do that. Oh, no,
but,
no.
All right. Part two. Halo Infinite. Flash forward 20 years. The originators of the franchise have left. A whole new team are trying to prove themselves and prove that they can still make Halo work. Halo 5, not as well received. Or, 5 was before Infinite, correct?
Correct.
Not as well received, so I think there's a little bit of trying to revitalize the franchise, and I think everyone would agree they are going back to their roots. They explicitly have said, this Halo is supposed to remind you of the fun you had playing Halo 2 at LAN parties. Let's get back to our roots, but of course we also feel the pressure to modernize Halo in some way, and they did that through the addition of the grapple shot, but it also includes some classic elements like the drop wall shield, all the enemies you're used to from Halo lore, and then, of course, the fact that not every Halo takes place on a titular Halo. This one does, just like Halo 1. You're on a Halo. When you look up in the sky, you see the Halo arcing overhead. They're really calling upon the images that I think are supposed to take you back to the early days of Halo. And yet it's trying to be its own thing in certain ways, and I think it accomplishes that to some degree. That doesn't matter. That's the rant. Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts. So you are a space marine. You shoot a bunch of aliens, and your whole goal is to keep the Zeta Halo, which has broken apart, from rebuilding itself, because there's a protocol in place using these spires to repair itself. And if it is repaired, the, what are they called, Brutals? Fucking, the Banished.
The Banished, yeah, okay.
Yeah. The bad guys who have control of the Halo are trying to rebuild it because the Halo is a giant weapon that can destroy planets, and presumably they're going to wreck Earth or, you know, some planet that's important to us. And we want to stop that from happening. Because Master Chief is almost a non-character, we are introduced to the pilot, or called Echo 216 or whatever. I forget his first name, but his last name's Esperanza. And he's like the human. He's like the actual character. And his whole deal is that he's not a coward, but I mean, he broke under the stress of combat. And it's sort of a redemption story about finding your courage to do the right thing, you know, which is a basic, it's an FPS plot, right? You find the courage to do the right thing, and the right thing is to kill the bad guy because he's going to ruin the universe. And you do. You shoot all the aliens, you kill the bad guy, you save the universe. At the same time, Master Chief works out some kind of interpersonal issue that he has with his cyborg girlfriend, or his AI girlfriend. Of the AI girlfriend specifically. But
spoilers, you know, but yes, spoilers.
It's got all the basic elements of a Halo, meaning Master Chief is there, there's a human Marine there to humanize the story, and some version of Cortana is there, and you kill an evil alien. And that's a Halo. That's what you want from a Halo. This gives you that. I'd rather save, like, the nitty-gritty of the gameplay elements for Game On, so I guess I'll wrap up there. Stop that clock.
That was the least efficient speed run I've seen in this game, but, you know, I love how detailed it was. I liked the part where there are rants sticking in there.
I have no idea, because we recorded Miles Morales, and you said how efficient the speed run was, and they felt the same to me. So I guess when you're in it, you have no perception of how it's going.
You're in it. Yeah. When you're in it, you're in it. Just one thing I would add is that this is the first time Halo ostensibly tried an open world. They have never been open world games.
Fair.
This one did.
Yep.
So there's that.
Although even the old Halos were renowned for the feeling of an open world.
Yes, they were.
Meaning like,
that's right.
You could get in a, like a huge leap forward that Halo brought us.
That's
was,
correct.
What? I can drive the car. I could be on foot or I can get in the car. And another guy can get in the car and operate the gun. These things are commonplace now, but Halo brought us these things.
Yeah.
So
Halo,
credit where credit's
due. Halo introduced the idea of engaging a bunch of different ways in the same fight. Mm-hmm. And it is beloved for that reason. I will go first and pass a checkpoint, sir, and begin the rants if you're willing.
Great.
Okay.
And I will say, to pass this checkpoint, we had to grapple shot up a sheer wall so that we hilariously bob up and down through the sky
yes,
over and
do.
Over, making it a few feet higher each time until we finally reach the checkpoint.
Yeah. I mean, this just goes to show why the army can't be Spider-Man. Like, I think we're seeing here why that can't happen. Okay, so player one plugging in. So Halo Infinite is an admirable attempt by 343 to finally make a Halo game that's just theirs and not just trying to please the fans and deliver more Halo since the exit of Bungie, who went on to Destiny, as everyone knows. And they had some innovations here that I think were really, really good, that really changed Halo for the better. The grapple shot, is what they're calling it, is the best thing that has been added to Halo since online multiplayer. Like, it is transformative for this franchise. Finally, when you're playing the Master Chief, you can do the kind of stuff that he can do in the cutscenes. That's how important the grapple shot is. Like, it sounds very simple. It's not. It allows you to go anywhere. It allows you to take, like, all kinds of objects around the map and wing them at, or huck them at various enemies and stuff. It just transforms the way you play into a much more improvisational style, which is exactly what the promise of Master Chief is. So, like, the actual game of Halo generally is a lot more cover shooter, and the grapple shot changed that so that you don't have to do as much cover shooting. You can actually pick the kinds of loadouts you want and then, like, really go through and improvise these combat scenarios, and that is extraordinarily satisfying. The open world was a big improvement for Halo in the same way that I think the open world for Bowser's Fury is a big improvement for 3D Mario. I think that we can expect from now on for Halo to be an open world situate, like an open world
really?
Game franchise.
I think would really make me sad, but sorry to interrupt.
That's okay. I think that's probably a given because this is a big improvement in terms of being able to navigate how Halo is and all the different combat scenarios. I think that makes it better. Now I'll get into what I think is not good about this game, which is every single story element. Every single story element of this game is poor. All of it is poor. And here's why I say that. All the major events that are what this story is about happen off screen. Every single one of them. So the way we meet Atriox, who turns out to be, I guess, the big bad of this franchise, of this like outing.
Or Asherim.
He kills you at the beginning of the game in a combat situation we don't understand. You're discovered by a pilot who is basically this cowering, you know, bowl of jelly for most of the game until finally you have a heart-to-heart with him, which takes forever to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turns out Atriox has been dead since that time until the very end when, spoilers, he's not. Of course he's not, because we keep fucking talking about him. So yeah, of course he's not going to be dead. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, on an execution level, the storytelling is bad for two reasons. One, Cortana, who's been made into the big villain of the series now. That's what happened. Halo 4 and 5 decided, let's make Cortana the bad guy. And it's sad, but that's what they chose to do. And so, okay, fine, we'll go with it, right? It's their right to tell their own story. Well, they hit the brakes on this one. They decided, after she basically held a gun at the head of all civilized
humanity
and every other civilization. They decided that she hit the brakes and repented of this action and tried to save some part of herself, which was then copied into a new Cortana, who is just called the Weapon for the entire game. We never get a name for her. Insane. That's fine. And the Weapon is performed by the same actress. So
and what's interesting is you didn't stop Cortana. You didn't make her
change
her mind.
No, you did nothing.
It happened off camera.
That's right. So I'm going to finish my rant, but you are right. So the thing that I mean about execution is that when we meet this character, we're confused because she sounds and acts like Cortana. So we think, wait, is this supposed to be Cortana? Like, it's actually confusing for a little bit. And I don't want to hear anybody who argues with me and says, well, I understood right away. No, you didn't, man. Like, you probably figured it out, but the game didn't actually help you. The game made it confusing because they chose to cast and define this character in a way that was so much like Cortana that the actual twist beat at the end didn't work because we had to figure it out in order to understand what was going on in the story. Okay, so that's a huge problem in terms of execution. So there's that. And lastly, we don't care about anything that's happening here because we're not allowed to care because there's no setup. And then the payoff is we don't want to raise these Eternals and we never meet one. So we literally have no idea what's going on this entire game. And like some people have said, oh, the storytelling's, you know, not so great. Dude, it's way worse than not so great. This is extremely flawed on a fundamental level, and it's very disappointing because I think, despite what I'm sure Mike will say about how rudimentary Halo stories are, they've often been very good. Like, they've often been very satisfying and fun. The first Halo, very fun. Simple and fun. The second Halo, which expanded its scope, still very fun, right? Like, the third Halo, which is, you know, basically a gigantic third act, still very fun. This is not. Because we don't know what's going on. So a lot of mixed feelings here. Overall, it's still one of the most fun games I've played in the Halo franchise. Definitely the best game that 343 has made that is a Halo game. And that is my rant.
Player 2 plugging in. Yeah, the story sucked. And it's because it's cowardly by its very nature. It's like a milquetoast rehash that is even scared to go all the way toward a full rehash. I'll give you the key example, which is that one of the main twists in Halo Combat Evolved that was so lauded and so genius at the time is because an FPS is about looking down the barrel and shooting enemies, right? And up to this time, we had things like Doom and Wolfenstein where near the beginning of the game, like if it were a screenplay, it would be the first 10 pages. You're like, ah, these are the enemy types. I'm going to mow down thousands of these dudes and then the game will end. And you're like, cool. Halo did something very interesting, which was that partway through the game, they introduced a new enemy type that acts completely different, looks completely different, and has a different, like, you have to tackle it differently. And they were called the Flood. And you're like, oh, so I have to fight these aliens and these aliens. I think it's telling that Halo Infinite ripped off Halo to such a degree that they have a thing that they're constantly teasing called the Endless, the Flood, the Endless, get it? But you never fight them in this game. And I think, like, it's weird, clunky half measures like that that make the game very, it feels disposable. It doesn't feel like an epic continuing beat in the history of the franchise in the way that, say, the addition of the Arbiter really did. You're like, damn, you're doing something new. It may not be totally new. I may be able to identify the classic sci-fi films that you're borrowing from, but it's new to Halo. The introduction of a dual protagonist in the Arbiter in Halo 2, that's new. It's something new. This, from the very beginning, and, you know, as evidenced by the fact that they delayed the campaign after a bunch of hubbub and released the co-op first. Not the co-op, but the multiplayer component first, which I did play. It's a lot of fun, and it's modeled to be exactly like it felt to have Halo 2 LAN parties, and that's what they're going for. And I just think in so many ways, they went for a safe inside bunt or whatever. They're like, let's just not fuck this up. But as Adam pointed out, there's two key things that they did do that do take some guts. And they were both gameplay, not story related. Making it open world takes some guts. I mean, open world is the most popular format of game right now, so it's not like the ballsiest decision ever, but you are messing with a franchise that's never been that. So yes, it's a legitimate move in a direction. And the grapple shot. And in fact, the grapple shot is so great that it makes you never want to switch over to using the drop wall or the enemy sensor or the blah, blah, blah. But it kind of doesn't matter because the grapple shot's all you need, boy.
Yes, and, it is.
This just proves my point from last episode, which is it's always fun to be Spider-Man. Everyone wants to be Spider-Man. And that did really add a new dimension to the game. I want to get into Game On so we can talk about what makes Halo Combat unique and the ways in which it's no longer unique because it has so many copycats. So I guess I'll wrap up there only saying that I completely agree with you about the Cortana thing. In fact, I knew it wasn't Cortana because it kept calling itself the weapon.
Right.
But when they present it as a twist that the weapon is a facet of Cortana, I went, wait, that's a twist? You wanted that to be a surprise?
Right.
It is Cortana. It's the same character model. It's literally Cortana. It's just blue instead of purple. How is that a surprise? Screw you, Halo Infinite. End of rant.
Wow, that's really hostile. We should pass the checkpoint into Game On.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Did you catch Season 3 of This Is Digital? Season 3 of This Is Digital goes behind the scenes to reveal how digital trends show up in everyday decisions and actions, including digital lessons from the EV revolution and the chief digital officer's role in disruption and culture. Featuring guests like Ekta Chopra of Elf Beauty and Tyson Jomini of JD Power. Do you have a digital mindset? Find out by checking out the latest and greatest on Season 3 of This Is Digital and learn more at westmonroe.com.
Yeah, I gotta say, needlessly more hostile than my feelings actually are. That was just a comedian's instinct. I don't really mean it. But it is... also, that actress nails it. Like,
she's
great,
very good.
Facial expressions,
yeah, she's
too.
Very good.
Yeah.
The acting in this is actually kind of good.
I'm sick of people like Master Chief, like generic...
Yeah,
it's basically
but wait.
It's the ideal American soldier. We gotta take that hill.
Yes, it
Why?
Is.
To save the world.
Yes,
Anna,
it is.
Whatever.
But this game tried, I don't know how successful it is, this game tried to crack open the Master Chief's brain a little bit and give us his feelings about what has happened to Cortana and show us his doubt and his conflict and his guilt. I don't know how successful they were, but they tried that. And so it's...
I guess they tried. I'll just say his feelings are only as complex as she turned evil. That makes me sad. I'm like, yeah, well, yeah, that makes sense. You know, it's not like we're not talking Pinter or this is not Dostoevsky or anything. It's just it's a soldier fighting. But blah, 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 blah. That's not the point. I want to really dig into the point of Halo, which is the Golden Triangle, which is grenades.
Yeah.
Guns that you're constantly switching out.
Yeah.
And then I forget what the and the melee, because.
Yeah.
It's true that Master Chief hits hard, and he always has.
Yep.
The melee attack is a legitimate thing that you would use to link together moments that you're out of ammo or need to reload. And this game added to it, and I'm ripping this off from a freelancer who wrote a piece for IGN that I recommend people check out, or I just didn't want it to seem like this was my original thought. But the way he put it is, Halo players, especially competitive Halo players, call this the Golden Triangle. Like, if you're good at managing the Golden Triangle, knowing when you need a grenade, when you need to just shoot, and when you need to punch, That's how you get good at Halo. And the grapple shot turned the Golden Triangle into a pyramid. And that's truly revolutionary. As simple as an addition it is, it's... I can't get over how much I went into this game thinking, here goes another Halo. I don't care about Halo. And how by the middle of it, I went, you know what? I don't care that I don't care about Halo. This is fun as hell. That's where they got me.
That might get lost in this episode. So I just want to take 1 minute and say, this is the most fun I've had playing Halo since like Halo 2 or 3. Like very, very, it's been like 10 years or longer since Halo was this fun. And it's not just because Bungie left. Like this is a reinvention for the better about what playing this game feels like.
I got to say, it's great. I don't care that it's open world. I don't care if it's open world or linear. It doesn't really matter.
I didn't think it made it way better, but I thought in this case, it just added the sense of Master Chief actually having to manage a bunch of different soldiers in a battle. Like in this particular outing of Halo, the idea was Master Chief actually has to be kind of a general here. Like he's a soldier, but he's also a general. You got to bring people into combat. You got to pick the right tool. You got to get people to do all the stuff that they're supposed to do. You got to calm down your freaking out.
I really wish it had some Phantom Limb elements, like calling in airstrikes from the Pelican or actually ordering your soldiers to go to specific points on the map.
They were a little scared to do that because I think they were afraid that means now it's a real-time strategy game, which, by the way, Halo has those. Halo has those kinds of games. Like I think that's what Halo Wars is, having not
Reach,
played them.
Or,
Halo
yeah,
Wars. That franchise.
Halo Wars, okay. Yeah, that one.
So I think they were afraid to try to merge that too much, but I think you're right. Like a Phantom Pain version of Halo for whatever the next one is might be the right move. Like it might be like a really good decision for how Halo should go. If they're willing to abandon the idea that every single Halo is stop the nuclear bomb from destroying the universe. If every Halo has to be that, then I don't know how we're going to do Metal Gear Solid 5. But, you know, if they're willing to do, like, to sort of scale down, which to me is what they did here. They scaled down a little bit and said, like, this is just like Halo, like the Master Chief scrapping a team together and putting the fight back to the enemies. Like, and that's all it is. And it's like, why is that so bad? That's okay. Right? Is that such a bad thing in your mind?
No, I always want more about the precursors, and I just like the weird shit. Like, I always want another beat in the lore of these all-powerful beings that turned themselves to dust and live in another dimension now who created the Halo Array. But I agree that small, humble stories can work. I think I just have a problem with soft reboots, and at its heart, the story part of this is a soft
100%.
Reboot. That was always
bound to
rub me the wrong
way. I agree with you. And like, that's bad. That's bad, especially with an offer like Halo 4 made of Cortana is not only going to die, but eventually become evil, which is what they decided in Halo 5. Like,
which really is a change to a core fundamental story aspect.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we actually reached a plot beat. This is a real turn. I wonder what will come of this.
Yeah.
Answer, nothing. We'll make a copy of her and she'll be the same old Cortana
Answer,
you love.
Metacritic went below 85, then nothing. You know what I mean? What I mean? Like that sucks. I think 343 should have had the courage to see that storyline through, even if we hated it. So... Like, of course, we can always make a copy or find a copy of Cortana. Of course we can. We're not stupid. Yeah. You know, of course we can do that. So, but, like...
You didn't have to take it back so quick. You could have played with it
like,
for a while.
That makes me, again, not confident about where they're going. You know what I mean? Like, which is the thing that they don't want to seem. They want to seem, like, very confident. And yet, this is the most conservative corporate franchise now.
They
you know?
Do show... They show a lack of... They don't show enough swagger to break out of the shadow of Bungie.
No.
I still think they operate in the shadow of Bungie. They operate well in that shadow, or at least in the case of Halo Infinite, but they're in that shadow. And by that, I mean, or like, for example, the enemy types matter in Halo.
Yes, they do.
And that's something that Bungie originated. And they matter I mean, they mattered a bit in Doom in the sense that a Kaka demon or Coca demon, I never know how to say that correctly, Kako demon.
Don't ask me. I don't know.
It floats in space versus an imp walks at you.
Right.
But the strategy is don't get shot by them. Shoot them enough times, they die. In Halo, right. Introduced, this kind has a shield. You can't do that to them. You have to punch them. And flash forward to Halo Infinite, and they're doing very sophisticated, I mean, not very, but they're doing sophisticated stuff like you have a grapple shot. If you shoot directly at the shield, they'll block it with the shield. If you grapple shot the shield, you can't grapple shot them, but you can get them to knock their shield aside. Then you can shoot them.
Right.
Or you could grapple shot again because now there's an opening in their shield. The point being, this is old hat to FPS fans by now, but different enemy types are different problems that require different solutions. And there's such a thing as a strategy like, okay, I'm going to take out the snipers first because they'll fuck me if I try and take on the tank at the bottom of the valley before I hit those snipers. Destiny has perfected that.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah, it is.
The people have strong opinions about the Cabal versus the Vex versus the, I forget, the Fallen versus the whatever.
The Cabal.
And I feel like Halo Infinite would come off a lot better if I ignored Bungie. Like the fact that Bungie still exists and are still innovating and inventing things like Gambit and, you know, different play modes that we've never seen before, or like the whatever. I loved that dungeon you kept going in. Prison of Elders,
yeah,
I think
it's
it was
awesome.
Called.
Can I add that they also took everything they added to the franchise out in this outing. They took away the Forerunners. They took away the giant mech suit. They took away the plot with Cortana. They literally took everything that was their additions out and went back to, let's just do everything that Bungie has done and add nothing controversial. So no Flood. Because the Flood were dealt with, right. So we can't add them back. And, like, they took all of that shit out. There's nothing more, there's nothing less confidence-inducing than that. Like, you know? That's crazy.
Do you agree that the Endless are going to be a Flood
analog? No, they're not going to be. I don't know if I was reading an article.
They're just saving them for the next installment or whatever.
No, they mentioned the Flood in one of the, like, they mentioned the Flood as distinct from the Endless in a different, like, in one of the, you know, many audio logs that you pick up. The Endless are going to be some other race, presumably like a Forerunner race of some kind.
But it's a new enemy type.
Well, but they had one,
right?
They had one in 4 and 5. They added the Forerunners, and then they are nowhere to be found in this game.
Oh, yeah. No, I know.
You know?
The big bad was, yeah.
That's a bad look. I didn't think the Forerunners were great, but I didn't think they sucked. You know, like they could be in the game.
No.
You know?
And the Banished are almost analogous to the Cabal. So
the Covenant.
It's like this.
Yeah, they're the Covenant still, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're the big, they look like the Incredible Hulk, but they have Space Marine armor.
Yeah, so
they're mostly who you're fighting.
If you haven't played this game, just so everybody, like, I'm just going to lay this out for anybody who's a Halo fan hasn't played this game yet. So, like, the only enemy type is Covenant. They give you Brutes and Elites and, like, your Jackals and your Grunts and, like, your standard fare. Mm-hmm. There is absolutely nothing else outside of it. Except, I guess there's a couple of, like, space station robots that you, from time to time, but, like, that's it.
Auspicious Adjutant and those guys.
Oh,
yeah.
The names.
I love those names. Which is,
yeah.
I mean, they became the ghosts in Destiny. It's
right.
All very...
It's very clear. Yeah, Bungie didn't...
You can see the seams.
Bungie didn't mind stealing from themselves, for sure.
No,
you know,
not at
they
all.
Did that. But they've definitely, like, they don't seem to feel afraid to try something else and add it to the game. Like, they do that every year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe not as much as we want, but they're still
right.
Doing that. New levels, new enemy types, new, like, they do this shit and they balance this whole ecosystem. And 343, and I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, like, they worked very hard and there's some great things about this game. But I feel like, man, you guys don't seem like you are confident about what you're doing. You just don't, you know?
And you actually, I think, could be more confident.
Yeah, I agree.
You're doing a good job. But you do it with a seeming lack of confidence. And even going back to, you know, if you're don't keep up with actual video game news, because why would you? They released, when they released the initial gameplay footage, or like, you know, beta footage of, hey, look, we're making Halo Infinite, here's what it looks like, the backlash was so complete and immediate.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That
yeah.
they apologized and were like, we're going to fix it, we're so sorry. And I think by all accounts, most people are satisfied with where Halo Infinite landed, but that must have been a real morale suck, you know, if I worked there and that was the reaction. Like, I can only imagine that that does actually get in your head and affect the choices you're going to make as far as big swings. And yet we can't underestimate that the grapple shot is a big swing.
And it works.
Right?
And it's so good, even though it's like actually less powerful of a tool compared to so many other games, what they give their protagonists. The grapple shot mm-hmm. in this game is just awesome. Like, it's so well conceived and executed. I think we've... it was so
that
fun.
They added these, like, explosive tanks that you grab with the grapple hook.
Which is
the
best thing.
I think the grapple
thing.
Hook would not be near... Right. It wouldn't be nearly as satisfying without those canisters.
You're literally whipping a canister to you and hurling it like a mm-hmm. like a grenade, but not a grenade. At some enemy
like
that's 8 feet in front of you, and like blasting them into oblivion, and it just feels great. It's so good.
Another thing they added that I really appreciate, that maybe I'm wrong, but does Destiny even have this? Flavors of enemies is one thing, but this had flavors of ammo, meaning
yeah, and weapons, yeah.
Right, like all these weapon types use shock ammo, and disruptor ammo works like this. Like, if you shoot someone 3 times in a row, they convulse. Whereas hard light ammo pierces enemies and can go through to the next rank. And even the canisters would be, like, you would mm-hmm. tell the difference between a normal canister that's just going to blow up in a standard explosion versus a hard light canister that's going to ripple through the enemies and hit the next row of enemies.
Yeah,
I really appreciated that ammo had flavor to it.
I think the weapons here have been honed and thought about and perfected on a level that is akin to what Destiny does. Like, there's not as many of them, not even close, but, like, they thought very broadly and very carefully about what every single gun does and what it can do.
A relatively small pool of weapons.
25 guns?
It's funny. You'd look back at Doom where you had 8 guns. That's, like, a huge pool. But now we're spoiled by things like Borderlands and Destiny. So it feels like a relatively conservative pool of guns that... each has a very distinct character, and you got to appreciate when each weapon has a distinct character.
Right. And they're not like, so just to be clear, they're not 21 different guns, like 21 kinds of scout rifle. They're 21 different mm-hmm. types of weapons. Like right. everything from a pistol to a gravity hammer is a weapon, and there's 21 of them. And all of them do something different. And they're all situationally, like, this is really well balanced. That's the ultimate point. I think the weapon work here and the sound design and the visual design of the weapons is very, very good.
They feed you tons of grenades, so you always have a nice supply of grenades.
Yes.
We didn't even mention you can, I think, arguably cooler than the canister thing. If you're out of ammo, you can use your grapple shot to rip a gun out of an enemy's hands, and now you have that gun.
It's really great.
That's so cool.
They also do something that Halo's never done, which is they basically let you decide what tools you want to bring to your next encounter. So, like, when you capture a forward operating base, you're slowly collecting an armory, if you will, of like, okay, so I've killed this many guys, so now I have access to a Pelican or a tank or a mongoose,
or a laser weapon, yeah.
Right. All those things become available to you so that by the end of the game, you can exactly decide, this is the loadout I'm going to roll in here with. I'm gonna ride a tank. These 3 dudes are going to come with me. I'm going to have a sniper and also, you know, like a pistol or whatever I decide. And you can and you can engage however you want,
and
which is great. That's very
what's
fun.
What's kind of fun and immersive in that it's not like a Call of Duty loadout where you go to a menu and it says, well, what kind of operator? Okay, fill out a little form and it'll tell. Like, I really appreciate immersion, and I do like that in this game, you seamlessly, without going into a menu, go over to a little crate and you pick which weapon you want. And then you call your guy and say, send this kind of tank. I like that it's all very seamless and immersive. Do you agree with me, by the way, that there's a certain physical heft to Halo that is unique to it?
So, well, I would say Bethesda started adding that too. This, I'd say that 343 has made this franchise chunkier. Like, and I don't think that's a bad thing. Like the sound design of all the weapons and the look of the weapons has gotten more intense. So, and it's especially noticeable in the multiplayer when you're like shooting a battle rifle and it's like, oh shit, that sounds like it hurts. And, you know, like I would say the weight of things has grown. It's not as playful and snappy like it was in the first, you know, 5-10 years of the franchise. I think that's maybe following the trends, because that's kind of what the trends are.
I guess Destiny also feels this way. But yeah, it feels like Master Chief jumps in big, clean parabolas. Does that make sense? Like he arcs very standardly. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but like you really get a feel for how he jumps in the way that you'd get a feel for exactly how Mario jumps in whatever Mario game.
Well, Halo's
you're
always had a floaty jump. Like that's just kind of what
that's
it
part
is.
Of
it's part of it. He's, you know, he's a super soldier. I would say that I don't think that the game got heavier like Red Dead Redemption 2 got heavier. I mean,
or Doom Eternal is heavy as fuck.
Yeah, yes,
like,
it is.
You're very grounded.
Even though it's snappy, it's still heavy. I totally agree with you. What's happened is you feel like you're really carrying around a 50-pound gun. You know what I mean? Like that's they made the realism of the military vibe to this franchise more present, and that's a good thing. Because it makes the encounters feel like, oh, like they feel more serious than it felt, you know, in Halo 2, even though you're still watching these grunts scream hilarious things every time you shoot one. You know, by the way, they are still funny. Did you find the grunts funny? I still think they're funny.
What was the, well, I guess I never fully understand why the grunts would agree to be part of the Covenant.
I don't know either. It's always been a problem.
They're just there to get fucked up.
Yeah, what are they getting out of this arrangement? Because they're so obviously cannon fodder. I don't know the answer to that.
But yes, the grunts say hilarious stuff. I also found it very weird that there's a reference in one of the audio logs that all the grunts train at a place called the Nipple Academy.
Really?
And I'm like, what lore is that? What is the Nipple Academy? Yeah, I swear, I looked it up. It's a thing, but I don't know what it means. That's neither here nor there. Brought this to a screeching halt.
No, you didn't, because I could talk forever about the way the Covenant / Banished are arranged. Like, that, like I don't... They have a lot of writing challenges ahead of them, 343, because there's so much canon here. But no one has ever tackled why any of the races except for the elites and brutes are doing this. Like, I don't understand. If you're a Jackal Shield boy, why are you part of this, like, war? And certainly, why are you joining this, like, you know, outcast faction that's, like, I guess trying to destroy everything in the universe? Like, what's the advantage here? They're not making any money. You know, why are they doing it?
Well, as evidenced by the fact that it's called the Covenant, it's a big alliance of evil aliens who've all thrown their lot in with each other, right? They are a big alliance.
And they had a religious belief in what the Halos do, which was like legitimately invalidated.
It has been demystified and invalidated. Yeah.
It'd be like, I don't know, man. It'd be like if somebody discovered Jesus's tomb. You know what I mean? Like, it's something that serious of an event happened. And, like, so now we have these weird factions that are basically just, like, gangs. But they don't act like gangs. Right. They still act like a military outfit, you know? What does a grunt get out of being in a gang? That I don't understand.
Well, so many stories have the problem of, and I believe Halo does as well, well, don't think it through from the villain's point of view, because it kind of falls apart.
Sure.
They're there to be an obstacle for you to oppose.
That's fine. We've always made our living not listening to that. So, like, that's true. I think it's more glaring in this game because they went so hard in on all the jokes. You know what I mean? You start thinking about, like, what are these? Like, are these guys there to just amuse the actual soldiers? Is that the idea here? Because they're basically just comedy relief. Anyway, I also am not 100% sure why. Like, I don't know if you put a gun to my head if I could explain what Zeta Halo is doing or why it exists and the other ones don't. You know what I mean? Like, that the actual, like, well, underlying premise.
Well, it just
premise.
Is a Halo, which means it's a super weapon floating in space, which means if they can control it, they can zap planets with it.
Did we not destroy them all in Halo 3? I mean, you're the liturgy expert now, you know? So I'm just saying, like, did they explain at some point why there is another Halo?
Ah, you're right. It's a very, very complex lore, so there's no question that I could be wrong or just not understand, but that does strike me as a plot hole because there is a key point at which all the Halos... Maybe that's why it's broken apart, though, right? I mean, they are repairing it. That's the whole premise of this one, is they're trying to repair it.
I don't remember Halo 5 well enough to remember exactly what plot elements led us to this moment, but I kind of suspect that Even if I did remember it well enough, I still would be tripped up by it. Like, it still wouldn't totally add up to me.
As you say, I'm also kind of tripped up by the stakes of it because it just feels like a backtracking from where we were. And maybe I know it's because you got a bad reaction to where we were and where you were taking us, but it still seems to show just some weird lack of confidence to sort of shuffle backwards and be like, okay, Cortana's not evil then. I don't know. Maybe we'll just do a normal small stakes Halo. There's one Halo. He's on the Halo. Like, let's all relax. Well,
it's not like he could never have a conversation with a different AI. You know, like, I don't know why they're so... I mean, forgive me, Cortana's actress, but, like, I don't know why they're so committed to that, you know?
Once something's financially successful to an obscene degree, you're like, I guess we're locked into these elements, right?
I guess.
That's just
the
financial incentive.
I guess, you know, Mickey Mouse is allowed to wear any outfit he wants and go on any number of adventures. I just think they have more freedom than they think they do. Like, I think...
I agree with that. I would encourage them to take swings again. I keep going back to... When they added a dual protagonist that you played as the Arbiter... That's a huge swing. That's a huge story swing when you already had success.
Which I think 80% worked. I mean, like, I know some people were disappointed by that, but I think...
I liked it.
I think it was good, too. I mean, like, the problem is they tried that again in Halo 5 with a totally different character named Locke, I believe it was, trying to track down the Master Chief, who's now Rogue. And it was just like, I don't want to play as this guy. Like, he doesn't have stakes in this other than being a good soldier. You know, the Arbiter...
Right, and they just kept slapping that thing on each other that makes your suit freeze up. it was just a complicated game of, no, I froze
tag.
You, no, I
yeah,
froze
it was,
you.
It was, it was galactic freeze tag. That's what they were doing. Whereas the Arbiter, like, his whole world is being carved up by... the events of the
story.
And
it's a completely alien point of view. Different society, different rules, different... Yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah.
But they have done... I mean, they did it with Red Team, too, and they're trying to build out the Spartans as a thing that you can... I can tell that they want you to be able to resonate with multiple different Spartans, not just John 117 or whatever he is. But... I don't know that can be done. I think Master Chief is the engine for the story, first and foremost.
Well,
I don't know that you can actually get me to care about Spartan Locke.
I mean, some people have cared. I mean, so just to be clear, in the history of the franchise, they've done it several times successfully. So, like, Halo ODST, right, which was well-regarded, there's no Master Chief in it. Same with Halo Reach. You play as Spartans... Like a Spartan team, like the Magnificent Seven type thing.
Red Team, I believe.
Yeah, and it was good. You know, like some people think it's the best one. I don't agree with that, but some people think that. So, like, it's been done, but 343 hasn't figured it out. You know, Bungie tried it twice, and it was successful twice, but 343 hasn't figured that out. That's what it seems like to me.
And I guess that's ultimately my problem with John 117 is... He's just a standard super soldier. Like, he's just Captain America, which is fine. It's fine. It is what it is.
there's something very comforting about the experience of like, oh man, the aliens got our back to the wall, we're gonna die. In comes our invincible hero. Like, in, you know, that experience, which is kind of what Halo delivers over and over.
And you kind of forget he's 10 feet tall, and then you see him next to the pilot, and you're like, oh yeah. And he's 10 feet tall.
He's
10
feet tall, he's smart, and he's never afraid. Like, you know, yeah, he's a military ideal. Right.
Well, and Destiny hasn't gone beyond that.
No, not at all.
Destiny is still playing with the core elements of like, there's a ball of white that is the good thing, but oh no, darkness is coming. You are a hero. The heroes fight the darkness. You're like, okay.
I think like
it's some Zelda shit.
Yeah, it's very even basic. More ridiculous than Zelda because it's less defined. Like the Guardian character, which they keep calling the Guardian, it's even stupider. In Destiny has had like two lines over 8 years. You know what I mean? It's very stupid. I don't like that thing either. I think protagonists should just be protagonists, and like we should feel like they have a point of view and we don't have to agree with it.
Particular characteristics that are specific to them versus any other protagonist.
The BioShock Infinite of Halo. You know what I mean? Like I say that because the protagonist of that game,
Booker is a specific guy.
He's a specific guy. He's not that demonstrative of a guy. We mostly agree with him. Not always, but mostly agree with him. But he still has a story and a point of view, and we learn it, and we disagree with some of the things he does, and he pays consequences for that. It's good. That's a good thing. You know, another game we're going to talk about that's also a first-person shooter called Deathloop. It was from last year. It made no bones about giving their main character a point of view and a tone and a voice and a look and everything about him, and I think the game was way better for it, right? Like, I don't, like, why are we, the Master Chief existed as a transitional form in video games when we didn't have the kind of robust storytelling expectations that exist now. I think we can move on from, you know, the mask and just let him be the guy he is. Take off his helmet, let him be who he is, and then move on.
They're making a high budget TV series now of it, and I wonder if the characterization of Master Chief will be generic tabula rasa mythical hero, or if they'll actually dig into trying and making John, you know, a specific type of
guy. They're gonna have a really hard time getting an audience interested in Master Chief the way he exists in the video games. A really hard time, you know?
Right, because he's so monolithic and he changes so little. But I think the series might actually be an opportunity to sort of build John 117 out as a particular character and then maybe fold that into the games. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, Witcher it, right? Where it's like the Witcher series is going to definitely impact whatever Witcher 4 ends up being.
Yeah, I think we're entering an interesting time because obviously, comic book movies are dominant right now, but I think video game movies and video game stories are probably the next wave of that cultural cachet. And as we get more and more of these series based on popular video games, I think there will actually start to be an ongoing dialogue between, like you say, the Witcher show versus the Witcher games kind of have to have a cohesive game plan. Or if they don't, it becomes noticeable. That'll be interesting to start comparing. You know,
yeah.
Well, in the Halo show, he's like this, but in the Halo games, he's like this. Or do they find a way to synthesize the two and move forward?
If Master Chief is in the series, which I assume he is, if he's in the series, it marks the end of what Master Chief was in video games, where he was a sort of faceless cowboy type who has a line only when he needs a line. And the line is always, we go forward. Like, whatever, you know what I mean? Like, that's always what the line means, basically.
Because they need
us. Yeah, right. Yeah, because we can. Like, that's it. You know, like, he's that guy. Yeah. That's, if he becomes a character in the series, that is over. And instead, we have a new idea about Master Chief. And I think we're ready for it, because we don't need more. Now, last point I want to make before we move on to Keep or Delete. You know who does need more of this? Is Xbox. Xbox needed this game to be a home run, and I think we both agree it wasn't, right? It was not a home run. Does Xbox have a single franchise that is not a Bethesda franchise that you care about now?
Wait. Spoiler alert, you're saying, or like... You're saying this wasn't a home run? I thought with the grapple shot
What I mean by a home run is a game that's going to move all their consoles, that's going to put them back on top as like the place where exclusive games are.
I don't know. Have you done the multiplayer component?
Yes, and I liked it a lot. We didn't talk about it yet.
Yeah.
But I thought the multiplayer was very well dialed in and good. I know they had some problems with like...
It was reminiscent of Halo 2 LAN parties I used to have, just in the sweet way that it was meant to be.
But
it did remind me
updated,
of that.
Updated and fun to play.
But updated.
Well, like it was well dialed in. But it hasn't really changed that much. Like it's a good mix. They had some problems with like the progression system. I think they fixed them. I played the open beta for a good 3 weeks. I did it on stream and I was like, damn, this is still good. It's really good. You know, I'm not a big PvP guy. I play, I don't know, probably like 100 hours of it a year, I'd guess.
Gears of War, Halo, and Sea of Thieves are the big Xbox exclusive.
Fable,
I mean, that's pretty weak.
Fable's returning.
Fable. Cool. Yeah, yeah. There you go. I like Fable.
So,
but yeah, I do think Xbox thrives more off of its ecosystem than off of its genre defining flagship series.
I think that, yeah. And I think that they realized that about 5 years ago and they built this Game Pass thing because they no longer feel they have the software to compete with PlayStation. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, like that's, I think that's a safe interpretation of their motives, don't you?
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
I mean, that's why they acquired Bethesda, because they realized it doesn't...
We need something in our
corner. You still have to have it. You have to have it, and they don't have those franchises right now. But if I'm Microsoft, in addition to all this Game Pass stuff, I'm trying new IPs this whole generation. Like, every year, here's a new IP. Didn't work? No problem. Here's another one. You know what I mean? Like, I'd throw a lot of cash at that, because they need it pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, they're putting a lot of chips on Starfield, I feel like.
I mean, hey, man, you know,
I'm excited as hell for it.
I hope it's great. It's good for everybody if it's great. You know, I hope that all the Bethesda games they're going to eventually release exclusively, let's be honest. I hope all those games are good, too. But I still want Xbox to, like, find some franchises. I don't think it's Gears of War. You know, I think that, no. I mean, I know people still play it, but I don't think that's the one. Yeah.
All right. Well, weird note to transition on, but let's do it.
Let's pass our final checkpoint. Our last forward operating base has been conquered, and now we begin the final story mission, which is to keep
or delete. We killed
a
high-value grunt. I love when they make the high-value target
I do
grunt.
Too.
And he's like, just something funny about it.
Because he talks shit. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. They had some good writing moments in this game.
Incidental dialogue was excellent.
Oh, also, a lot of people complained about the lack of terrain variety. I think that is also was a problem. And like the terrain was not designed to use vehicles very well, I thought. Those are two other problems.
No, I could never really get the vehicle from point A to point B. I would always abandon.
Like, I understand that they didn't want to just set it up so the tank always wins, but like it was kind of hard to use the tank a lot of times. So I don't know. Mm-hmm.
And I rarely flew, if ever.
Well, because you couldn't till the end. You had to do so much stuff to get to Pelican.
Oh, no, but I mean, you could take over a Wraith or a whatever ghost, whatever they're
That's
called.
Right.
You could take over alien ships, and I just found them not that useful.
Yeah.
Especially because you immediately become such a target. Like, everyone shoots at you immediately. Your ship blows up pretty damn quick.
The Pelican, when you finally get... I think it's the Pelican or the Hornet or something. I don't remember. Whatever ship they give you at the very end that's the UNSC one.
UNSC
that
ship.
That one, changes the game because you finally don't have to walk a half mile. Like, you can actually just get there. It's nice. All right. So we passed that checkpoint. We're now on keep or delete. What say you, Mike?
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Do you have a digital mindset? Check out Season 3 of This Is Digital. Season 3 of This Is Digital goes behind the scenes to reveal how digital trends show up in everyday decisions and actions, including driving profitable growth in enterprise software and how the new sports fan experience can drive revenue. Featuring guests like Chris D'Agostino of Databricks and Scott Crable of Thoma Bravo. Check out the latest and greatest on Season 3 of This Is Digital and learn more at westmonroe.com.
Where I think we all know where this is headed. While a laudable addition, the mere addition of a grapple shot is not enough to launch this game all the way onto the Celestial hard drive for me. So this is still a delete, although it's not a delete. For a Halo game, it did really click with me after a certain point. I had a hell of a lot of fun, and I don't easily just say, delete this shit. It's like, it's in the discussion, the Celestial hard drive discussion, but I don't think it makes the cut.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think that's actually high praise that you...
I'm anti-Halo,
highly of it.
It was fun enough that I went, Michael, you salty old so-and-so, you're having fun. Look at this. You're going to have to cut Adam some slack. This is fun. You are having fun.
When we talked on the phone about it, I was like, it was the phone or some chat or something. And it was like, I couldn't believe how much you were enjoying it. I was like, oh shit, that's great. Because we agreed on that.
I think the moment-to-moment experience of killing aliens is very, very fun.
And this might be the best that's ever been. Just the moment-to-moment experience of it. I'm also going to delete it.
We're such assholes.
Well, no, I don't think so. I think it's fair in this case.
No, I think we're right all the time, actually.
I maintain that there will be or should be a Halo on this hard drive. I think the franchise is that important, but I know this isn't like even in the top three. You know what I mean? Like the top three in no uncertain order, in my opinion, is some order of Halo 1, Halo 3, and probably Halo Reach. Or not Halo 3, not Halo 2, Halo 1, and Halo Reach. Some order like that.
I didn't play Reach.
Reach is really good. You know, like, it's not perfect, but it's dated now. Mm-hmm. But one interesting thing is they moved away from the grunts being funny. Like
the grunts are very serious.
They don't speak English.
Introspective.
They don't speak English in it, which made them very different. Gotcha. Yeah, so, I mean, that's my opinion. Those are the three that I would pick. This one's right there with Reach to me. But we care so much about story. I don't know how we can overlook the very poor story being told here. I just don't think we can.
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry, but...
Harsh but fair.
Yeah, I mean, we may go back and revisit Halo Evolved in our drive maintenance conversation we're going to have at some point soon about the Keeper Delete drive.
I mean, you'll have to trade me for Psychonauts or something. We'll see. Yeah. It would take a lot for me
I'll say out of all the games you have deleted that I would keep, out of all those games, there are only two that truly bother me, and Halo is one of them.
Halo Combat Evolved.
Yeah, and that and Grand Theft Auto 5. Those are the two that really bother me, I think. I'll have to look through the list again, but yeah, I think so. Those are the two that I'm like, dude, I can't get past that.
At the risk of just fuck it. No,
let's get out of here. Yeah, yeah, okay.
No, dude, no matter how deeply I think about it, and I know literally everyone in the world disagrees with me and I'm destroying my credibility as a video game talking guy, GTA 5 is a bad game. It's not good.
I disagree. But that's all right. I'm gonna play that.
Everyone disagrees. Everyone disagrees with their money hard. Yeah,
I'm going to replay Grand Theft Auto 5 this year when they do the in March when they do the console update. because I want to see how it feels now in 2022 after everything we've gone through. If I still think there's anything funny about it, like I might not. I might be like, this game is not funny. We'll see. We'll see.
All right. Yeah. Well, maybe we'll cover the remaster. That'd be interesting.
I think they're adding some.
I am gonna play it for PS5.
They're
for
adding
sure.
some missions too. That's what I read. I don't know if that's true, but I read they're adding actual story content. So we shall
see. Well, we're talking about a completely
that's
different
true.
Game, so it's time to get
so
out of here.
So that's it. Apparently, Halo is not infinite in this case, but our love for you is, and we'll see you around next time on One Upsmanship.
Work complete.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, ah, yeah. Love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Did you catch season 3 of This Is Digital? Season 3 of This Is Digital goes behind the scenes to reveal how digital trends show up in everyday decisions and actions, including digital lessons from the EV revolution and the chief digital officer's role in disruption and culture. Featuring guests like Ekta Chopra of Elf Beauty and Tyson Jomini of JD Power. Do you have a digital mindset? Find out by checking out the latest and greatest on season 3 of This Is Digital and learn more at westmonroe.com.